Good morning. Scripture reading for today's lessons comes from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you're following along or using one of the Bibles under the bench, you'll find that on page 1044. Again, Philippians, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. And the word of the Lord says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus."
Well, good morning again, everyone. If you're visiting with us, you are an honored guest. Certainly glad to have you. There will be a yellow card in front of you if you want to fill that out and leave it with one of the men, and we'll have a record of you being here. I'm not Scott Spencer. I'm not the normal preacher for a Sunday morning. Scott has taken Trey back to college with his wife, Kathy, and we certainly wish them Godspeed and safe travels. Ron, do we have a, is it pulled up? Is the presentation pulled up for me? Okay. What I'm going to do, I understand you've already sat through 27 minutes of presentation. And fortunately, being in control, what I'm going to do is ask you for an additional 10 minutes. So if you will give me that much, I promise you the time we're going to spend in God's Word is not going to be wasted by any means. I abbreviated those first five slides. What that basically said was I was going to talk about New Year's resolution, but statistically speaking, after the first 30 days, you're not going to keep those anyway. So let's go on to goals. These goals are something that you can work on throughout the year. Goals, they give us a roadmap to follow. They are a great way to hold ourselves accountable. They help us define what we truly want in life, and they help us prioritize. You may see this in the business world, in the statistics world, in the pharmaceuticals, in the airline industry. You want your goals to be SMART goals as much as possible. Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. I'm going to take the basis for our lesson today is going to be off of the Sermon on the Mount. So that's going to be the greatest sermon ever given by the greatest presenter ever given to mankind, and we're going to look at those. So being a specific goal, the first one we want to look at, the Sermon on the Mount has a whole lot to say about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom come, the kingdom of God. It's the focus of the sermon. It is used in Matthew 5:4, Matthew 5:10, Matthew 5:19, 8 times in 3 chapters. You're going to get a reference to that. The citizens of the kingdom are cloaked in blessedness. Matthew 5:3-12. You think about those beatitudes. Merciful, pure in heart, thirsting for righteousness, meek, and the like. The citizens of the kingdom are to be a bright reflection of the world. So what's going to be our goal for this, for a specific goal? In 2020 may be our goal to reflect the characteristics of the kingdom, understanding the need for righteousness that is expected of the citizens of the kingdom, and to respond to the exhortation to enter the kingdom if you have not yet done so. So we'll cover that one again in just a moment. So you get a flow for how we're going to go through this. Measurable. Measurable often answers how much or how many. We hear a lot about measure in units in the Sermon on the Mount, laying up treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. Zach teed us up nicely over the collection plate. 1 Corinthians 16:1, it talks about the collection of the saints. Certainly hearing Don's presentation from for the church on the work of the church and where those dollars are going. Have a lot to say about that. The Sermon on the Mount also talks about how much to eat, how much to drink, how much to put on, how much to sow, reap, gather, toiling, spinning. But in all this, we are to consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, though they neither toil nor spin. Even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Solomon, who would receive 666 talents annually of gold. Now think about that. 25 tons of gold annually is what he would receive. He had a throne of ivory, gold steps, footstool of gold, cups and utensils of gold, but not one was arrayed like like one of these that God has taken care of so generously. The Sermon on the Mount also speaks of daily portions of measurement, our daily bread, Matthew 6:11. Proverbs 30:8-9 says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, feed me with the food allotted me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Lord, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. God, don't make me so rich that I forget about you. Don't make me so poor that I hunger and that's my stomach's my craving instead of you." What then should be our unit of measurement? And our goal for this section, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You see that one rock on the left side? When you're seeking first the kingdom of God, nothing else that would ever be added on the right side will compare to it. That is where our focus and where our concentration needs to be. That's the side we ought to be measuring. Attainable. We should set goals that are attainable, challenging but still reasonable to achieve. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking. Remember the parable of the persistent widow in the book of Luke. It was due to her persistence that she overcame the unjust judge. This needs to be the case of our actions in the case of our prayer life. John 14:13, "Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." In our study of God's Word, Psalms 2 says that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. May it be our goal, then, to be persistent in obeying the will of God. 1 Chronicles 22:19 states, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord." Relevant. Ensuring what you're trying to achieve is worthwhile to you. I cannot think of any organization in America, more than corporate America, that wants to have their goal is to try and achieve what's worthwhile to you. They just don't want to spend a lot of time doing it. The Sermon on the Mount gives us the golden rule. When I was over at Wright State taught the golden rule as he who has the gold makes the rules. It's much different than what we think about the golden rule being within these walls. But I think Wright State had it all wrong, and I tell you why. I work for a large corporation, one of the largest natural gas utilities in the nation, and here is an excerpt, if you will, from our corporate plan. And it says right in there, among other bullet points, "These concepts can be boiled down to a simple showing respect for one another. Respect should be universal. Just think of the golden rule." So there it is. When a corporation, when it gets right down to it, and they put ethics on the line, how do they want you to act? That's one of the largest utilities in the nation. They want you to act as God's word has indicated. So what needs to be our goal? I will treat others the way I want to be treated. And lastly, our goals are to be timely. Every goal needs to have a target date. Before I go on to what's the timeliness of it, let's look at where we are right now in our goals. "I will study to understand the need for and to do my best to reflect the righteousness that is expected of the citizen of the kingdom of heaven." I'm going to do my best. "I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I will persistently seek to do God's will. I will treat others the way I want to be treated." And don't forget, you agreed to this one earlier, if you're not yet a child of the living God, "I will respond to the exhortation, the earnest pleading to enter the kingdom of God if you have not yet done so." We talked about it. You agreed to it. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown." How late would you, if you was in a race, I'll race you down to one of the restaurants in town. How long would you wait to get started? You'd go right now, wouldn't you? We're in a race. God's word tells us we're in a race. 1 Corinthians 6:2, "Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." So that's our lesson today on our goals. If you are not a child of the true and living God, what's stopping you? We had a dear sister come forward last week, became our sister in Christ, didn't she? We met her at the front. She'd been studying. She had understood. She had heard the word, as you have here today. Believed, repent. She made that good confession. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? She sure did. And then we dipped her in that watery grave of baptism. What will stop you today from doing the same thing? If you need the prayers of the church, we also had a dear sister come forward last week and say, you know what, the pressures of this life are getting to me, and I'm getting a little bit snippy. Will you please pray for me? If either of those is your intention today, please come forward as we stand and sing.